WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
We are 24 hours removed from one of the most debated Royal Rumbles in history. You either loved it or you hated it. We're about to find out what two men thought of it. First, we have the intern, King Kittens.
Oh, there's definitely some opinions on this one.
That is for sure. And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Some things happened, some people bitched about it, and I sat back and watched the village burn.
It's fun when that happens, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday Night is now live and on the air. And I'm going to speak in a really weird Midwestern and Southern Western twang accent all night long.
Please don't.
Just because.
Please don't.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You said please. Y'all said please, so I won't do that no more. That's all I got to say about that.
He's still doing it, Rock.
That was an impersonation of Forrest Gump Arizonan.
I got the Forrest Gump part.
Arizona, we don't have accents.
No, hold on, Brian. This is what happens when you talk like a pirate. This is just...
I don't do it for the whole time, though!
Brent, it's...
I stopped.
Brent, it's been a minute. You do it for longer than a minute.
But it's a... Never mind.
Did you just go say it's a shtick? Because that's a shtick, too.
It's all a shtick. Shtick 'em up. Yeah, so hey, everybody, we're also gathered 24 hours later from the best pay-per-view of the year normally. And we're talking, of course, about the Royal Rumble. I call it the best. It may be, it may not be. Everybody has their own goddamn opinion. And in my opinion, the Royal Rumble is generally the best because it's my favorite. So there. Ha ha. But we're here to talk about what happened, Rock and Brent.
We are indeed here to talk about what happened. It was an event full of jackassery.
Oh, God. You know,
limited jackassery.
If we never have another one of those celebrity entrants for the Royal Rumble, I won't be upset.
We actually had a good celebrity entrant, though.
I mean, he's talking about Bad Bunny, not Johnny Knoxville. I like the Johnny Knoxville spot.
I didn't, because I was number 9.
Well, at least that spot made more of an impact than your other one, so there's that.
Somewhat marginally.
Yeah. But we also had twists and turns and people turning their backs on other people. So it was an eventful night. Brent, what was a highlight to you?
Personally, hearing Hardcore Country and seeing the Impact Championship brought out on WWE TV. something we never thought was going to happen.
It's interesting how that happens, isn't it?
It is. The funny thing is like, we had talked before, and I was like, I really want Hardcore Country, and you're like, oh no, Mickey says it's going to happen. And it's still one of those kinds of things like, yeah.
Yeah, but.
But at the same time.
It's Vince.
Right, it's Vince, it's the fact that most people would know the claps. So I'm like, okay. And then the second it hit and you heard the fans, I was just like, oh no, they did it. This is great. And it wasn't the only TNA reference on the night. We got that in the other Rumble as well.
You did get it in the other Rumble as well.
I just like that, you know, the camera was on Bobby and you can hear him. And he's just like, oh, I know. We have history. And the fans just chanted it. And it was like, aw. And with that, TNA was acknowledged 10 times more than it had been on AEW's broadcast.
That is for sure. Tim, what was the highlight for you on the night?
Oh, there are a bunch of highlights last night, just objectively speaking. The match between Lesnar and Bobby Lashley was definitely a highlight, just the way everything played out. I've got a couple of conspiracy theories about that. We'll talk about it. But having Brock then enter the Rumble at number 30, that was another highlight. Ronda Rousey showing up was another highlight.
Was a highlight for sure, yeah.
Absolutely. A couple of the special guest appearances in the Women's Rumble were highlights. Lita proved that she still has it, and maybe she does have enough in her for a limited run.
I didn't know we were doing multiple highlights. My bad.
Well, I told you there were several highlights.
Brent, you mentioned two, so you can't say anything.
He's just rattled off like five, but there's one big one I'm going to touch on after two.
Yeah, but I will definitely give mad props to Bad Bunny. That boy did his homework. And I'm not talking about studying shit. He went to school to learn what the hell to do. His first go around in WWE was a pleasant surprise. And his showing, if you will, in the Rumble last night just added to it. I mean, if this guy had never broken out as a music artist, a music star, definitely I could believe him as a cruiserweight.
Okay.
No. So,
I mean, he did pull off the Canadian Destroyer in the WWE ring, and it was probably... But,
yeah, well, the one thing about that pissed me off is they didn't call it the Canadian Destroyer. That's the move, Canadian Destroyer. They just called it the Destroyer. They almost did, but what's his name stopped himself after he went, the Destroyer! I mean, like, dude, it's Canadian. Just goddamn say the name of the move.
He probably got some, I know he pulled it off at WrestleMania, but he probably got some more advice on it because the man who does the Canadian Destroyer now works backstage as a producer, Petey Williams. Yeah, dude. Yeah. So there you go. All right, Brent, you had one other big highlight you wanted to talk about?
I'm going to regret this because I know you have something cued.
Oh, asshole. I should just do this.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, kick, shield. My other highlight aside from Mickey was the absolute epic troll job through the entire match by one Seth freaking Rollins.
And that entire match made the pay-per-view.
And even the certifiable... It was
a Royal Rumble, and that match made the pay-per-view.
And the fact that Roman committed probably about three felonies upon Seth by the end of that experience. Oh, God. The fact Roman came out first, I was like, okay.
They're going to do something.
Well, I'm like, yeah, usually, you know, and I could tell all the old crotchety people, you know, on the interwebs and elsewhere are sitting there going, I can't believe a champion is coming out first. How disrespectful. They should be, whatever. Roman comes out and he's standing in the ring and I was like, all right, Seth's going to come out. And then you hear the music and you see him kind of still embody that kind of drip god swagger as he's like strutting down the stairs, and the entire time Roman's looking at him like, I'm going to kill you as soon as you set foot in here, you son of a bitch.
You can't help but wonder sometimes, sometimes shit like that is done to the surprise of the other guy. And just Roman's reactions were so perfect that I was wondering, did they tell him?
Well, and Lindsay touched on this on Thursday, and we've touched on it on this show. We've seen Roman being physically dominant for months, years even. He steps in a ring, he's a specimen, and, you know, he's just been slow, methodical, beating the hell out of everyone, picking them apart, and you're just like, okay. But we've not seen him deal mentally with things. And Seth, that little shithead, knows exactly how to get under Roman's skin and is just twisting the knife at every opportunity. Like, it wasn't just the entrance. It wasn't just the fact he did, you know, the stuntman roll over the barricade. It was even at the end of the match, you know, he threw up this, you know, the shield bomb onto Roman and put him through the table, you know, as they've done to countless others. But it's when Roman has just been beating him in the end from pillar to post, and Seth is just laughing at him, and he throws out the fist like, come on, you know you want to, and you just see Roman sitting there for a minute, and like they're talking about on commentary the whole time, he's talking to himself, he's trying to just be like this, you know, like trying to get himself gathered, and he just can't, so he just ratchets it onto Seth and gets himself disqualified. So
yeah, even, you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, the beauty of the match itself, just, you know, stepping outside of the illusion, a match like this one is so damn enjoyable when the two guys have that chemistry with each other, when they know each other so well, they can pull something off like they pulled off last night. It's just, it just takes viewership to a whole other level. And a lot of people watching don't realize it. They're so absorbed in what's going on, they don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. That's my point to just to step in behind you and pull the curtain open a bit.
So Tim, you thought there was going to be one thing that would make that whole thing better. What was it?
You're trying to get me to bring something up I said yesterday in Skype chat, and I'm trying to remember because of all the things I said.
It's about Seth's look.
Oh, there's only one thing. The only thing that would have made it more epic if he had come out with the bicolor hairdo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would have been the absolute ultimate epic in his trolling.
So
I think
it was very obvious that they finished off the Shield last night. For once and for all, Roman put a nail in the coffin.
Great callback to the spot when Roman got just leveled, including Seth hanging on the bottom rope like Roman had.
Yep, they did it all perfectly. So the match ended by disqualification, and that cost them up.
And it was a perfect ending to that match. I don't remember if I said anything to you about that last night, Rob.
I don't remember.
I think I said something. But for me, that was an absolute perfect booking. And people are, like you said, people are pissed off because it ends in a DQ. But nothing. You gotta quit being so goddamn short-sighted on things and realize there's a bigger picture overall. Roman, frustrated because he's not able to get any sustained offense going. Seth, countering like crazy, always having the upper hand, getting under Roman's skin. It was the perfect ending for what they presented.
But Tim, you could have done like 14 run-ins on the match and then had it ended, and then had a, you know, pinfall or submission, and therefore would have been totally fine. No,
you're not thinking. You're not thinking four dimensionally. You are totally ignoring the future of not this storyline, but the future storyline of pretty much five or six different things you've got going on all at once that are going to wind up converging by WrestleMania. And you don't need run-in after run-in with these two. And they proved it.
You let two men just settle it in the ring. Did it end clean? No. But at the same time, you told the story of what needed to be told, right, Brent?
Yeah, this was a story to further Roman. This was, again, showing a chink in the armor that, you know, he is not the juggernaut. He's not this just unstoppable machine. There are things there. And it's the same thing with Brock. As we learned later in the night, Brock has some chinks in the armor, too. So it makes stories more believable when you're like, okay, can lose. Okay, he's not unstoppable.
Now, are they going back to Saudi before WrestleMania?
Yes.
Elimination. Yes. Is Brock not scheduled to face Roman in Saudi?
He is not scheduled to face him in Saudi Arabia, no.
No, okay. Were they scheduled to go head-to-head for anything at all?
No.
Okay, well.
Nice try, though.
No.
There was nothing scheduled. Brock was just...
There was nothing scheduled.
Nope.
We'll talk about it when we talk about the winner of the men's Rumble match. What I said last night, Rock, about Roman and Seth, fantastic match, and people will hate that apropos ending.
Welcome to the internet. That's the internet for you, but that's only the start of what people disliked. But we'll get to more things when we get to the men's Rumble. But I want to talk about the other title match for the men. Brock Lesnar, Lashley.
Exactly what I expected to see.
A puppet master doing puppet master things at the end. But this was two big guys doing big guy things.
And it was a hell of a lot of fun. Okay, here's a suplex. Oh, yeah? Well, here's the suplex back. Oh, really? Well, here's two in a row.
The best part about it was Brock's reaction to Lashley's suplex.
The first one. Mm-hmm. Oh!
Hey, pretty good. With the little golf clap. Yeah.
It's like, all right, kid. All right, I see you.
To steal from Avatar. Yeah, I see you.
Match was what it should have been.
It was great.
Well, and touching on the thing that we had discussed earlier, like, you saw a little bit different Brock here in that normally he goes in, lays waste to someone, leaves. He's physically dominant. In this one, he's still a physical specimen, but there's little things that happened that show, you know, Brock's not the big meathead that a lot of people think it is, and Paul Heyman is just the brains of the operation. Like, pointing to the one instance of Bobby doing the OMG movement from, you know, WWE 2K and going through the barricade. Brock experienced it the first time. Bobby goes for it again. Brock sidesteps it. And the whole time, like, right after it happens, the camera goes to Brock and he just points upstairs like, yeah, I learned. I know what's coming. And with that, you can build off it because, again, everyone just assumes Paul Heyman is the brains of the operation. Who's to say that Brock just doesn't let him handle the business because he just doesn't want to do it? It's not that he needs Paul to be able to do all of this stuff. It's that maybe he allowed Paul to do it, and with Paul double crossing him this time, the second time, he may make him pay a little bit.
So it was interesting, Tim, that when the ref got bumped and on the outside, Heyman didn't do anything. When his client had him pinned, right?
Yeah.
He just let it happen. He just watched.
Kind of sort of standing there watching. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Come on. What's going on? Did Brock not give Paul a look?
He did.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, something's up.
And then something did come up. Roman Reigns showed up and speared Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that's not all he did.
Then he looked over at Paul and asked for the belt, and Paul handed over the belt.
Yeah, well, he didn't look at Paul and ask for the belt. He looked at Paul and held out his hand, and Heyman grabbed the belt and handed it to him.
And then whacked him right in the head with the belt.
Laid him out cold, baby.
So much so, we have a brand new WWE champion.
Oh, the almighty has re-ascended the throne.
I wasn't a fan of how Bobby won.
You weren't supposed to be. Yes.
I know, but the reason I say that is both of Bobby's major title wins have been lackluster for someone of his size. So I understand him not taking on Drew because, you know, Drew's a force. So he helps The Miz win the title, and then, of course, tells him, you owe me, waylays The Miz. But then it's like, in the first instance of Bobby defending the title, he needs MVP's help. I'm not saying Bobby's a weak champion at all. but it just kind of, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth when you're just like, this guy should be imposed. He should just be dominating people, and he needs a distraction to win.
Well, it's not that, you know, it's not that huge an issue because Bobby is not in the focus of WWE right now. Roman is. Roman has been for like a year and a half, for crying out loud.
And I understand Roman is the focus of it, but at the same time, he is also a quote unquote world champion in your company.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he is not the one, he might be the 1A, he's still the top singles champion on a brand, and it still looks a little suspect.
Yeah, you'll enjoy this. I acknowledge where you're coming from, Brent. I acknowledge what you're saying. And of course, with this being Bobby's second reign with the title, perhaps I'll allow him to show a little bit more dominance in his victories.
Or maybe he only holds the belt for 3 more weeks.
Or he only holds it for another 3 weeks.
Because there is a chamber coming.
There's a chamber coming, and you never know. I'm just saying.
This is true. Now, Brock Lesnar is guaranteed a shot at one title or the other at Mania. The only entrance we know in the men's chamber as of right now is Bobby Lashley. Is that not correct?
They haven't announced anything yet. So we don't.
They haven't announced anything at all. That's my point. But like I'm saying, the only absolute is Bobby Lashley will be the defending champion in the chamber.
You can't say that for sure.
Unless they book it differently where they say, okay, the winner faces the champ.
Yeah, because Brock makes his decision tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, my thinking. This would be absolutely interesting as a son of a bitch. And here's the first conspiracy theory, okay? For Elimination Chamber, Bobby has to defend his title in the – and this is – this is my preferred Elimination Chamber match is when the title is on the line rather than the winner gets to, you know, you're vying for a chance to face the title holder. I'd rather the title be defended in the chamber. But the conspiracy theory, what if Brock, who is already guaranteed a title shot at Mania, enters the chamber with the Bobby's title on the line.
Mm.
Does he take that opportunity to name his opponent a la Charlotte? Or does he, as the Raw champion, challenge the SmackDown champion?
I don't see that happening.
Okay, that's one of the conspiracy theories I wanted to throw out there. Now, just to put a caveat on there, just because I throw out conspiracy theories on this webcast doesn't mean this is what I believe.
Oh, so
I'm just putting a bug in everybody's ear. And yeah, no, Rock, I know you get that.
Oh, I get that, because on Thursday night on the Rack, I put out such a conspiracy, you know, chaotic theory for the Royal Rumble that was great. It was building off of something you said, because you brought up how you wanted to see stuff from WrestleMania 31 between Seth and Roman, right?
Yeah.
As a callback to the Roman-Brock match. I had the theory of then putting Brock into the match. Like, Brock would lose the title at the beginning of the show. He would then find his way into the Rollins-Roman match because Paul Heyman put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brock would have beat Seth Rollins in the whole reversal. So he would have stolen Roman's title. It would have been a great chaotic ending. They didn't do any of that, but it would have been a nice callback to everything.
It would have been very interesting, but I don't think you'd do a WrestleMania callback at any other pay-per-view but a WrestleMania. That just doesn't make sense.
Oh, it was convoluted. But guess what? It would have sparked some controversy. That's for sure.
And you know what Eric Bischoff says?
Controversy creates cash.
Well, my goodness, that's absolutely correct.
So we talked about Brock Lesnar winning the Royal Rumble, and we could talk about a couple other spots about the Royal Rumble, but the general impression about the men's Royal Rumble, that it was just okay.
What was the phrase you used last night? The mid-card rumble?
I mean, if you look at the majority of the people in the first 20, to what it was... Yeah.
Well, to me, it was a case of, yeah, okay, you're giving us a whole bunch of guys that are never going to see the light of day when it comes as far as winning goes. And that did not change for me until Kevin Owens came out. He was the first, in my opinion, true contender.
No, really?
No.
The guy before him wasn't?
It was the guy before him.
Who was the guy before him?
Drew.
Oh, yeah. No, Drew.
He was the one before.
I had it in my head that Drew came out after Kevin.
No, Drew came out before Kevin.
And it was only 24 hours ago.
But I told this to Lindsay a little bit ago, and I'll give it to you guys now. This was the first time I think Vince McMahon honestly missed Pat Patterson.
On how to properly book a Rumble?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Because
this Rumble was not very well booked. They should have definitely had a couple of the heavyweights come up near the beginning and last most of the Rumble.
They should have paired up a couple of people a little bit more slash better.
This is what happened. This is what happened when the match was rewritten multiple times during the week.
And Kofi was eliminated before Big E even made his entrance. Long before Big E made his entrance.
That was Kofi's problem.
Kofi botched the spot.
Well, yeah, I was going to bring that up. Did Kofi screw up?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
He wasn't supposed to have both feet touch the floor.
No,
he was supposed to land a slightly bit higher on that barricade.
And they were doing everything they could to try to fake it. But once they showed that replay, not a hope in hell.
Now, to be fair, I've stated they needed to have a year where the Kofi-bot failed.
Well, there you go.
And it works because the thing is if Kofi saves himself every time, and we saw this a little bit with Naomi, it's the kind of thing like, the second she gets thrown over the top rope, it's like, okay, what kind of crazy thing is she gonna do now? Because we know she's not eliminated. And then when Sonya came out and pulled her to the floor, I was kind of like, okay, good. Same with Kofi. The second, you know, he couldn't do it, it's like, okay, it makes the times that he's able to pull it off more special. So the fact that he couldn't do it this time, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, maybe he can't do it every time. Maybe it is a kind of special feat that he's able to save himself when it does work.
Yeah. But yeah, he royally screwed that up, and you could see the refs going, are we supposed to count this? Because we know the plan, and we're supposed to, okay, we have to count this as a shoot, okay?
Well, if you can't avoid fudging it over, you've got no choice.
And I like the internet was like, well, they could have just ignored it. It's wrestling. You could have ignored it. They're the same people who complain when you don't follow it to a T and call it as a shoot. And then when they actually call it as a shoot, oh, no, you should just fudge it and, you know, go on with it. It's like,
no.
You should do it the way I want you to do it.
But you see, the camera catches plenty of things from the referees, like them watching feet and them doing other things.
Like holding ladders in big title matches, right, guys?
Oh, my God.
AEW, smarten the fuck up.
Oh my God. The thing is it wasn't even just once. It was five times, and one of them required a referee to slide into the ring to hold.
Now, there are a few people listening, I know for a fact, have no clue what we're bitching about right now. And I think that it would be good to fill them in.
Okay, so this past week.
What happened?
Wait. No, I'm sorry. It was 2 weeks ago, right, Rock?
No, it was this past week.
This past week.
That's right, because it helped excite the rumors. So this past week, they had the title unification for the TNT title in AEW versus Cody Rhodes, the actual title holder, took on Sammy Guevara, the interim title holder, in a ladder match.
Hey, can we have a ladder match for this title match?
Sure, because they want to be Brett and, or they want to be Shawn and Razor. Because, yeah, no. Anyway, number one, AEW, get yourself better ladders. The second that they unfold them and they're already rickety, not a good sign. Number two, these guys are doing crazy spots off the top of the ladder, and at least five times during the match, the referee has to get down and hold the ladder stable so that they can do the move.
Crazy spots.
The impartial referee has to hold a ladder for its participants.
Oh, but that's not the priceless part. All the different times they held the ladder for the spots.
Are you talking about the one time they moved the ladder?
When they moved it and had them both hanging.
When it was, oh, they're both grabbing it. I better move this. And pulled it out from under them.
Now, a proper booking would have been one of the wrestlers kicks the ladder, and the ladder goes to the falls over and bounces on the top rope. That would have been the proper way of doing it.
Yeah.
But somebody thought it would have been a smart idea to have a referee push the ladder out of the way.
And so many people were out there trying to defend the spot. It's like, that's not, you can't defend it.
The referee should not be a participant. The referee should be background. And
unless the referee is booked to take a bump, you should not notice the referee except for when he bangs the canvas with his hand. It's enough to drive you to drink.
Or her.
Or it, or they, or whatever.
But I made this point on another show, and I'll ask you, Tim,
what?
Can you name a WWE official?
Took too long.
Now, when you say official, you're talking referee?
Yes. Can you give the name of a WWE referee?
Oh, hell, I even have a hard time remembering Lil Nate's real name.
Okay. But you remember him not for really being, you know, a WWE official. You remember him back when he was like WCW storyline. Being Little Nate.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens you carry forward. You're like, oh yeah, he's still a ref. Okay, can you name an AEW official?
It's a terrible
well,
question.
If I hate to admit it, but if I were paying attention to AEW as much as I should, then yeah, I'd be able to. Now, as far as a WWE referee, there is one name that sticks in my brain, and that's Jimmy Kudaris.
And he doesn't work there.
And he doesn't work there anymore. And then there was another one, Tim.
He doesn't work there either.
And he doesn't work there anymore either. Is he still around even?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And you could also name Earl, so, I mean.
The Hebners.
Yeah.
Dave and Earl. Yeah. But they don't work there anymore.
They don't work there anymore either, and neither does their kid. So.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that their kid was let go.
He's worked for Impact for years.
Yeah. So, but at least with this, in this instance, with the Kofi spot, you went with the legit situation because it's like, well, shit, it happened. Same with, you know, the most famous instance of this, Cena Batista. Those two idiots weren't supposed to go over to the top together. And so it happens. Well, fuck, we got to wing it.
Mm-hmm. So Brock Lesnar would end up coming out last, winning the Royal Rumble, as we've mentioned before, and now has his pick of who he's going for at WrestleMania.
He dominated the end of the Rumble. Let's call it what it was.
He did.
The way he ragdolled Riddle.
He picked up where he left off 2 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that ragdoll of Riddle, that was that. I went, ha, when I saw that. I did.
I just love he caught him, and he just caught him and just went, eh.
You could also over the top. You could also tell he was very much waiting to be attacked by Brock because he kept almost getting in the way of everybody else who was like, oh, it's not my turn yet. Not my turn. Okay, wait. Okay, I'm ready. It's my turn. Cool. Suplex me.
Like it's like he stood there counting. Okay, that has to happen, and then this happens, and then that next thing has to happen with this happening, and then now it's my turn.
Yeah. So it was, as we said, and. Average Rumble?
But Bad Bunny's look when Brock grabbed them.
Oh, yeah.
That sold it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing with this Rumble was, with the Rumble, we're always kind of, in the lead up to it, we were talking about, you're always waiting for the surprises. You're waiting to see who was going to come out. And towards the end of the Rumble, I'm starting to like look at who was announced and who hadn't. And I was kind of like, there's really not a lot of room left. And the people who are coming in, I mean, they're good, but... I think you wanted another, like, one or two big kind of, like, whoa, kind of people to come in, but you never got it.
I didn't feel like there was a single whoa for the Men's Rumble this year.
I mean, you could say Bad Bunny was a whoa.
Meh. Okay, Bad Bunny showing up was, that was a surprise.
I mean, the problem is there was a lot of overhype for the Rumble, and a lot of names who were going to be around got out, including Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
So it was like, you didn't have that big surprise moment of, oh my God, this person's back because they didn't open the forbidden door and bring anyone back. They brought people in who work for the company or have really good ties to the company. And that's where it was. Like, the big surprise was Drew McIntyre. He was supposed to be out. He was in. So
that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Drew going after Corbin and, what's his name? Slapdash.
Madcap.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Totally what you said.
To be fair, got a good pop, though.
Did.
You heard those swords clash, and everyone jumped to their feet, and it was kind of like, okay, yep, things picked up a bit.
And then on the other side, they brought it back. A lot of people. For the women.
With Women's Rumble, they kind of sort of have to reach out, because the women's roster, let's face it, is very thin.
It is and it isn't. I mean, you have enough.
I was going to say yes and no.
Like, there's a lot of their talent is injured. Bayley and Asuka, the main two, are out injured. So you're missing two big headliners. Sasha Banks, who was supposed to be out, made it back just in time. So you're going to miss three headliners in this Rumble. So then bringing back names like Kelly Kelly and Melina, who was a surprise, and Alicia Fox, another surprise, Summer Rae, the Bellas, Sarah Logan.
Sarah Logan, I think, might have been for me the biggest surprise entrance because of the way she was let go. I did not expect her to show back up in the WWE ring anytime soon.
I'm not as surprised.
No.
Only because her husband is still there, her friend is still there. And honestly, with what happened at the Rumble and what they shot after the Rumble, like the behind the scenes thing, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a short program with Sarah Logan. Like, if you bring her in for a couple of weeks for, like, pre-Mania build.
All depends. But one of the biggest surprises in Women's Royal Rumble was Ivory.
Oh my god, that was so great. I understand it wasn't a fully impactful kind of participant like you would kind of see, but the just little that, bit she was involved in.
That just her coming out right to censor.
It was the evolution of her character. The first Rumble, she was Ivory. This time, she was right to censor Ivory.
And she picked off the one person that was perfect in the Rumble to square off against.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea.
Yeah, because you have Ivory in her perfect little outfit, white and black, talking about how everything is wrong with today's, women's wrestling.
And you have all these girls in the ring, and she didn't want to see girls, she wanted to see women. Or she was trying to say that as Rhea's name.
Right, but you've got Rhea, who's the complete antithesis of that look, just looking at her like, okay, dump, and then just a little like, bye-bye, and she's laying there still talking on the mic. It was perfect.
I dug that.
We had then the biggest surprise.
Cameron.
No.
Oh, no.
No, the Battle of Superheroes, Nikki Ash and Mike Miley.
Again, great kind of little spot, and it helps Nikki get over more as a heel. Because everyone loves Mighty Molly. Everybody.
And just attacking Molly to the point where Molly couldn't even enter into the Rumble.
Yeah. It's just one of those, Nikki's trying to prove I'm a real superhero by being Homelander, essentially.
And as far as Nikki goes, one thing that I found disappointing was that they didn't spend enough time with her and Rhea.
Oh, that's coming.
But they did spend enough time on Rowdy, Ronda Rousey.
The roof blew off.
I was going to say, for all the people who may shit on this and be like, oh, she doesn't need to win the Rumble, or oh, why are they bringing her back? The second the music hit, if you watch the hard camera, everyone jumped to their feet and started to cheer. That's exactly why you bring Ronda in and you give her that spot.
They didn't jump to their feet. They leapt to their feet.
Yeah.
They flew out of those seats. And I had an inkling that she was going to be there because I heard that she was flying into St. Louis.
Well, it was on the internet that she was going to be in the Rumble. It was kind of obvious.
I was going to say, it was the worst kept secret that she was going to be there and what the match is probably going to be.
Except for if you do your damnedest to avoid any talk of what's supposed to happen, what could happen in the weeks leading up to it, then it's an absolute enjoyable surprise.
Even knowing she was coming, it was still an awesome surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was still a pop.
Huge pop.
And it's like, I'm not fooling anybody when I say that I didn't know she was going to be there.
It was very obvious. But I thought the Women's Rumble told a better story overall, because you actually had some story in there.
The Women's Rumble this year was better than the men's.
Yeah, the Sonya stuff with Naomi, you were telling a story in the middle of the Royal Rumble. You had the Rhea and Nikki stuff in the Royal Rumble. Then you had flashback stories with Summer Rae and Natalya.
And major props to Natalya for it was somewhat of a subtle thing. And I don't think a lot of people will have picked up on it, but she was one of the longest lasting entrants in the Women's Rumble.
Third longest.
She was the third longest. And there's a reason that certain people get to spend an extremely long amount of time when you know they're not going to win the Rumble, whether you want them to or not is irrelevant. You know, it's not going to happen. So if that's the case, why are they spending three quarters of the allotted time still in the ring? How many people did Natty eliminate?
Zero.
Two. How many people did she Natty have
two.
Scrapped?
Oh, she eliminated two. That's right. She eliminated.
She
two.
Got two eliminations. How many people did Natty have a chance to scrap with in the ring that WWE is wanting to push?
Not a few.
A few of them. And Natty is such a trooper. And she's such a company girl that she goes out there and she does her job.
With a big giant welt on her forehead.
That was huge. I told you that she got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, go ahead.
You want to talk about throwbacks? We had one that was at least a decade in the making.
Hmm.
You had McRib and
Michelle McCool.
Hardcore Country.
And Mickie James.
Yeah, you had the payback for Piggy James again, which good on them for doing that. And also, I loved the little looks that you would get with Rhonda and Shayna towards the end of, or when both of them were in the ring together. Rhonda looked at her like, my bae is here. And then they would just go around beating the high holy hell out of people.
So Ronda Rousey is your winner of the Royal Rumble. She could choose Charlotte Flair or the winner of Becky Lynch and Doudrop.
Choosing Charlotte would be the antithesis of her having come back. Choosing Becky, if Becky is victorious in her title defense, that would be what makes sense, don't you think?
There are pros and cons, and we'll get to that in a second. So we're segueing to Becky Lynch and Doudrop. Because Ronda Rousey set the place on fire.
You know, Becky and Doudrop, that match just, no offense to either of the girls, really. That match just did not grab me.
It was coming off the Rumble, and so you were missing that, and you had a crowd's attention that was elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because the sign legit was on fire. Not once. But twice on the night, by the way. Twice.
Yeah, in case you missed it, everybody, the WrestleMania sign caught fire on two occasions last night.
Because they set the pyro off and it went on fire. If you knew it was going to go on fire after the first time, why'd you do it again?
The joke I made is they had to set the WrestleMania sign on fire because Undertaker wasn't there.
Do the complaint, command in chat. Yeah, so did the match grab you, Brent?
I thought it was good. Then again, I'm a Becky stan, so, you know, I'm gonna like that. But honest,
I really hate that.
It's
what, the word stan?
Yes, it is stupid.
Okay, fine. Fan, there. But it's like, I liked it because it got someone new into the title picture. It got someone who's a much different style than Becky and would require a different style on how to interact.
That being said, it didn't grab me because I felt something was missing. There was, like the spark wasn't there. I'm trying not to make this sound like we can still be friends, speech. But,
it's not them, it's you.
Yeah, something like that. When we all know for a fact, it really is you. It's just, I didn't feel the chemistry between these two. Now, I get it. Okay, yeah, Doudrop, like you were saying, Brent, you know, they've got a new performer in the title hunt, a new performer in the title match, and it's not the same old, same old. Sometimes going same old, same old works on different levels, even though you've seen it ad infinitum. And then sometimes two fresh faces just capture that lightning in a bottle.
So what? So what you're saying, Tim, is you would rather see someone who usually is in the picture stay in the picture?
There are times, like I say, sometimes, like with what happened last night, like Ronda winning, and Brock losing by thanks to interference, and Roman and Seth ending in a DQ. You know, when you do all of these different things, sometimes you have to put the steady. You have to go with what works.
I see what you're saying. So, from your booking standpoint, you'd rather have the consistent person in that spot most times.
Not most times. Not necessarily most times. It depends on your booking for everything on that one show. And what the problem was for me, and I think I'm able to narrow it down a little bit, is they were throwing so much at us that they wanted us to accept that it kind of puts you out into the wilderness. Like this match is getting lost in the wilderness a little bit.
All right, because I just want to make it clear you were advocating for, like, if they're champion or their former champion, they should always be in that title hunt. Is that's what you're sort of advocating?
No, you're putting words in my mouth, and you know you are, and I know exactly what you're doing, Rock.
Because you were basically, let's all understand what he was basically doing, Brent. He was advocating to keep Charlotte Flair in the title picture. That's where he was going with all this.
I was not, and I told you, smarten the fuck up.
Because that's what it sounded like to me.
I know she's your favorite champion.
We were talking Becky Doudrop here.
But you were saying consistent challengers and champions in those pictures, so that's...
No. Again, you're putting words in my mouth. I said there are some times when you're working one show a certain way, you want to put together two people that you know are going to go over and not miss. Had Liv gotten her rematch, and that would have made perfectly fine sense because she's one of those newer ones that got elevated and the fans are behind her. Had Bianca won and gotten into this, it would have been a wasted spot. However, it still would have worked.
See, Bianca though, right now would have been too early because your big Mania.
That's your WrestleMania. That should be a WrestleMania event.
Right. So you can't do that. And honestly, if you had put Liv into this match, it would have felt very monotonous.
It's like there's absolutely no background with Doudrop and Becky. And they tried to establish it in the week leading up to last night. And it just too little time to get it done.
But the problem
running room.
If you had put Liv in the match, though, that would have been how many title matches would she have gotten recently?
Well, that would have been her third in like 4 months. Third? I understand.
No, hold
that.
On. Correct.
I was using that as an example.
Correction. Third in like 6 weeks.
All right. Third in 6 weeks. But let me just clarify myself and say that's just an example.
I understand. But also,
like there are there not people that have wound up in the Women's Rumble that did have previous heat with Becky that they could have. They could have angled that. There's no history with these two. The match itself was not a top pay-per-view match.
And sometimes, if you look at the history of Royal Rumble matches, sometimes that happens. Especially in title matches.
I'm not saying the match sucked.
I'm saying they take a lower talent and put them in a title match because you're saving the bigger talents for the Rumble itself. It's happened before if you look at the cards.
Yeah,
the past.
No, I get that. I'm just explaining my reasons why this match did not grab me.
We understand your reason. I'm just, yanking your chain a little bit just to get you going.
Rock, are you left-handed or right-handed? You're right-handed, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what I think you should do is hold out your hand and stare at the palm of it. Are you staring at the palm of your right hand?
No.
Well, you should. just stare at your palm for a second for me, okay?
No, I'm good.
And while you're looking at it, hit yourself.
Yeah, I'll go right on that. Yeah.
because I hate the fact that you weren't selling that at all, and you knew I was doing that. So cut it out.
So the anyway. One, so the other match that we need to talk about, Edge and Beth Phoenix versus The Miz and Maryse.
Oh, thank you very much, Beth, Edge, Miz, and Maryse. That was so much fun.
I think this match earned the pay-per-view a, what, PG-13 rating?
No, that was a women's rumble.
Well, the part that and part...
And then Maryse added to that, yeah, but the women's rumble starting added to that.
Owning, look, they dropped it down low.
They were owning the ring. They were claiming it as their own.
They were marking it. but no, it was Edge and Beth's date night. This is what happens when they go out. You know, most people go to movies.
They throw other couples around.
Oh God, did they?
Like Netflix and chill means something totally different to the Edge family, is what you're saying.
But the actual psychology used in the match was good. The way that they played this out, in that at first they didn't want Beth in the ring at all. You saw Maryse doing whatever she could to keep Beth out. And then when Beth kind of got waylaid, it was like, all right, let's keep Edge out of this because we have to. Because the second that Edge saw Beth was in trouble, he was going to kill someone. And then later he did.
And of course, Maryse playing herself, or, you know, previous incarnation of herself, when she was a full-time regular in WWE, it's her playing that character is always priceless.
Well, and the nice thing is they did just enough with her because, let's be fair, she hasn't fully wrestled.
Yeah.
I know she had the match with John and Nikki.
Meh.
But it's like they haven't really had the – and I think – no, wait. She had interactions with Brie as well. So
yeah, the one thing, you know, you brought up, they were a little sparing with Maryse. One thing I did notice was Beth was absolutely going out of her way to protect her.
Yeah, Beth's that good. She knows what she needs to do, and she did it. But also, you allowed Maryse to hit kind of those high points that could make her look good that were safe. Like when she did the Hurricane Rana onto Edge could sell it well enough, even though she did almost land up on her head. But it was still like, it's a big move. It'll get everyone like excited, but it's something that can be kind of controlled.
And when she landed the Hurricane Rana, the look on her face, everybody interpreted it was like, oh, holy shit, I actually pulled it off. And I saw that, and my interpretation was she's thinking, holy shit, I just about fucked that up.
Yeah, she almost like pile drove herself, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of fun to see the husband wife kind of incorporating each other's finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were trying to get the double skull crushing finale in. Maryse hit her, you know, French kiss DDT, and then you had the double glam slam, which was epic. The one thing is, I wish they had pulled out the 3D, but I know that like the Usos are kind of like incorporating that. But when they used it on the security, I just wanted it in this match. I could just see The Miz getting picked up by Beth, Edge hitting him with it, and just The Miz laying there like, oh God.
Well, we got what everybody wanted, which was Beth actually taking it to The Miz. As short as it was, we still got that.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, that was one of those blink and you miss it pops.
But, well, when it comes to these these mixed gender tag matches, there's a few instances where you can look at someone square up, like on the female side, square up against the male and be like, oh yeah, no, the guy should run. A couple of instances I can think of are this match when The Miz is standing there with the kind of cocky look. And I'm just like, no, you're going to die. Just leave. Get out of the ring now. And the other was when Triple H got into Ronda's face. And you knew it wasn't going to end well. And it didn't.
Big mistake there. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I really had fun with this match. I was very impressed with how good Beth did at taking care of Maryse. And, of course, Miz and Edge working. It's fun when those two go head to head. It's just what they pull off with each other. It's enjoyable. It's entertaining as hell. And I just love the oogie googie looks that they were giving their daughters at the end of it.
Oh yeah, when they went to go see Gr- well, it's like they did the one side of the ring, and Edge is, you know, they're celebrating, and Edge points Beth to the other corner, and they get up there, and all of a sudden I can see them both look down towards the front row, and I just instantly thought, oh, that's where the kids are probably.
Oh, Beth was doing that while she was on the other side still. She was looking over at her girls from the far ring post, and she was doing the mommy face and the switch up and stuff like that to the girls from the other side before they even went over.
And to be fair, the girls were dressed to the nines. Like when you saw that they were in full princess gear. It was awesome.
Sitting there with grandma.
Yeah.
Granny, so
like I said, grandma was watching the kids during date night. It was great.
Yep. And yeah, no, that match was fun. I enjoyed it.
Was exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
For the record, Edge and Beth Phoenix would come out victorious. So overall, how would you grade the show, Brent?
It's hard to put a grade on it for me. It's kind of a middle of the, like, I guess like a C, maybe a C+. Just because I think the fact that, like, though you did have a few moments in the men's rumble, overall it's underwhelming, and considering it's a big part of the show, it kind of brings it down a bit. Women's rumble, some good spots, but, you know, it could have, you know, there's things that could have happened there. Seth and Roman was good. Enjoyed that. Bobby and Lesnar was all right. Again, not totally into that, but logically and everything, I understand where it went and where it's going. It's fine. And then Edge and Beth was enjoyable. But yeah, just overall, when you kind of look at the show, I feel like you just kind of go, eh. It's not, you know, the worst rumble ever, as people want to say, whatever. But what is there room to improve for, like, next year and for pay-per-views this year? Oh, yeah. They could do better.
How would you grade it out, Tim?
Well, if you look at the past three Royal Rumbles, this was definitely the worst of the three. However, this is far from the worst Royal Rumble we have ever seen. Absolute. That's an absolute given. An absolute, you know, that's an absolute truism. This was an average special event.
Premium live event.
That's it. This was an average premium live event. It was, you know, if you don't have more important business to take care of on an early Sunday evening, then you could do worse than watch last night's Royal Rumble. Like I say, I found it to be an average show. That said, with everything that happened last night, there was only one match that I didn't really get into, and I've already spoken about it and given my reasons why I just couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. When you're watching a pay-per-view and you're decently entertained by everything except for one thing, it's not a bad show. But like I said, it's far from the worst Royal Rumble we've ever watched. We've seen a couple of really, really bad ones. This one, however, I don't see this one standing out, really. 2 years ago, the Rumble stood out. Why? Because Brock Lesnar eliminated half the field and then got eliminated by Drew.
But boy, were people mad about that one.
And it made people talk. And, controversy creates cash, whatever. So as far as that goes, that stood out. The biggest stand up for this one might be Ronda's return. She's back with WWE, with a limited contract.
She'll be here for a year.
1 year. She's booked through WrestleMania, 2023.
And for the people who say she's a part-timer, she's going to be around pretty frequently.
No, she's going to be around. She's going to be speaking tomorrow night, as a matter of fact.
She will.
But how big a deal is Ronda's return and win? I guess it ranks up there. You know, time will tell, where this whole thing, winds up in the, pantheon. But like I say, it was entertaining. It was, something to watch. Really, there wasn't a whole bunch to be disappointed with.
Okay. So we have some housekeeping we need to cover.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep some house.
Oh, okay. We all need to be ashamed.
Yep.
Every single person on this network needs to be ashamed.
Yep. Okay. You qualified it by saying every single person, because the eight ball, I've never noticed the eight ball to be so on top of shit.
So for those of you at home, last place was Jobber, one in five. That bastion of WWE knowledge that he is. Seventh place was Tim, Rock, Lindsay, and the Wheel at 2 and 4. Tommy went 3 and 2 because he did not pick a match. In second place, he was alone in six, Tommy. In second place was myself, Casey, Subway, and Sheila at 3 and 3. So we went 500 for this pay-per-view, which for the Royal Rumble is understandable. And in first place at 4 and 2 is the eight ball. We lost to an inanimate object.
Yeah. That happened. As far as the Royal Rumble entry contest goes, congrats to Wit for winning the men's Royal Rumble entry contest. And congrats to myself for winning the Royal Rumble entry contest on the women's side.
He has such a big grin. You can hear it.
Every time you win something, I know that you rigged it.
But there's no way to rig it.
I don't know how you do it. I just know you rigged it.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm sticking with it. Get it.
No.
Moldy, moldy,
mold. No.
Oh, no, Brent Maul, that was like, that's so 10 years ago.
No, that's Lindsay. Anyway, I say we're done now.
That's the end of the show.
It is.
What's happening next Sunday, Rock?
WTR Sunday night.
What time are we going to be on?
10 p.m. Eastern.
Well, that's all that matters, everybody. Make notes. But before then, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, we'll hear Rock and Lindsay talk about what happened on Raw during the Raw post show.
Yes, you will, on Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear all of our thoughts on Monday Night Raw this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. The Raw post show is not airing tomorrow night.
What?
Lindsay has family coming into town, so we can't do a show. So,
well, that being said, never mind, just watch Raw and then go do your own goddamn thing. But Thursday at 10 o'clock Eastern, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack.
We're going to
with Lindsay Ward.
What if news, notes, NXT, and we're going to talk all about the high points of Monday Night Raw this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow Lindsay on YouTube, lindsayward.rackradioshow.com. Subscribe to her channel, Tim.
Hey, Rock, why wasn't there a Greater Than Great debate last night?
Subscribe to her channel, Tim. Because there was no Super Raider because The Rack was live reviewing the Royal Rumble. That's available now. But Super Raider will be live this Saturday night, midnight at SuperRaiderLive.com, GreaterThanGreatTheMate.com. Subscribe to our channel, Tim.
What are you trying to tell me, Rock?
You should do a thing. It's LindsayWard.RockRadioShow.com. But they'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday Night on the Facebook and the Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Brent's on the social media making friends on a daily basis.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens, making comments during multiple wrestling events, putting out conspiracy theories, and damn it, I wish at least one of them had happened, because I would have loved to come on here and cackle about either of those happening. I can still dream for next year, though.
Keep dreaming. Tim's on the social medias. Isn't that right, Tim? If he was talking, it would be at Flames Forums. He talks sports and hockey and wrestling and dad jokes. But he's not talking. We don't know why. But he's not talking. It's at Flames Forums. This is the time, I can tell you, when Lindsay's on YouTube, lindsayward.rockradioshow.com, she streams Genshin Impact. She'll stream usually Monday and through Wednesdays around 6 p.m. Eastern. And sometimes
the
on the
USB
weekends.
Port died.
There you go. And sometimes on the weekends.
What I was saying is don't worry about the social media. I'm taking a break from it.
Cool. So, there you go. Also, use credit code Rocket Soccer Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite I'm sorry, Epic Game Store because we're hashtag Epic Partners. This is where Tim says bye.
Have yourselves a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.